Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 74.
And once again, this week I don't have any smart, witty comment thing to say like I normally do, so welcome!
Welcome!
Well, unless, you know, you have found your way to us from a previous episode subject, sharing our posts.
Huh?
Helgi Meyer has shared our posts from our Facebook group.
Wasn't that quite a while ago?
Yeah, but still.
Oh.
Because I friended him on Facebook finally to see what he's been up to. But anyway, welcome!
Yeah.
So this is going to be a Sarah-sode this week. Hopefully everybody's holiday was safe. I mean, on the 4th of July, I'm sure everybody still has all their fingers. I'm sure. I hope.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
White people are stupid.
I mean, earlier this week, they did find a old artillery shell inside, like, laying in the from a magnet fissures in the bottom of a river. So that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, that was...
I was like, what?
A little odd. Just a little odd.
Yeah, from what they believe is like a 120-millimeter howitzer shell, which is still bizarre, but who knows? They probably were manufacturing them here during World War II, and they found it. Mm. Might have fallen off a boat, or some people speculated it was stolen from a memorial somewhere and just tossed in the river. Who knows?
I don't know. That looked quite large to just sneak out of somewhere.
True, but, you know, comedian Dan Cummins, he talked about it in his college years that when he was on a blackout bender, if I remember correctly, he drug a stop sign with the concrete on the end of it, screaming freedom down the road while he dragged it behind him. But people do weird things when they're under the influence of alcohol. Just raising her eyebrows at me like, okay. I'm sure we've all seen our own fair share of stupid things people done when they're drunk.
Yep.
So what do you have for this week? Let me guess. You're continuing your underwater basket weaving tutorial, aka true crime.
Yep.
Big shock, I know.
I know.
But of course, you know, I got my on this day before we even do that.
Let's hear it.
All right. So for September 4th, yes, I double checked to make sure from last week, Sarah, that I got it correct this time. Comedian Damon Wayans was born in 1960 in New York, New York. Wayans is best known for it being on In Living Color, in the movie Major Payne, Blank Man, and Mo Money.
Yep. And Homie Don't Play That.
Yep. In 2005, the biopic Walk the Line premiered at the Telluride Film Festival in Telluride, Colorado. Starring Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash and Reese Witherspoon as June Carter, the film made $186.6 million at the box office, coming out to $272.6 million today in 2024. In 2002, Kelly Clarkson is crowned the first winner of American Idol.
And out of all of those winners, she's probably the
only one that you still hear about.
Other than Carrie Underwood.
True.
But the rest of them, you don't hear anything about.
The only other name I can think of as winner that comes like mine, well, two actually, because they just talked about him on the local rock station.
Oh, Daughtry.
Nope. Well, that was the one I was going to, that was one just right off the top of my head. The other one was, you kind of forgot about, was Adam Lambert.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were talking about his time being a frontman on Queen. And that's it. And non-winners, everybody remembers.
Clay Aiken.
And no, that, you know, Clay Aiken, but William Hung.
Oh, she bang, she yeah. Bang. Wow, I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah. In 2005, 20-year-old Kyle Busch becomes the youngest driver to win a NASCAR Cup Series race when he outduels Greg Biffle in the Sony HD 500 at the California Speedway. Or as like we call it, like to call him, Kryle.
Kryle is correct.
I don't remember what race it was, but somebody wearing the giant baby mask with a fucking M&M's jersey on, whatever, that they showed before a commercial break. That was great. I think I had a picture somewhere on my Facebook of that. But anyway, in 1957, the governor of Arkansas, Orville Faubus, calls out the National Guard to prevent 9 black students from entering Little Rock Central High School, and they would later become known as the Little Rock 9, which may be a story I do this coming February.
Does that kind of go along the lines of the Greensboro 4?
Yep.
Nice. I mean, not nice, because you know it's not going to be nice. But
nope. Because I was going to do more stuff like that February, but, you know, doing Greensboro took a lot out of me emotionally doing that. In 1888, George Eastman patents the first roll film camera and registers the brand name Kodak. And Australian naturalist and TV personality, the Crocodile Hunter, a.k.a. Steve Irwin, attacked and killed by a stingray at the age of 44.
Oh, that was a shock when that happened.
Yep. Everybody was like, no fucking way. But it was also like, we all knew it was probably that was going to be the way he goes out.
I didn't think he'd go out by stingray. I figured he'd go out like how you're probably going to go out, by trying to pet a giant fucking cat that don't want nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
other
possibly.
Than food.
Yep. It's a possibility, but what I was saying was that it was an animal that took him out in general, not just a stingray specifically, even though it was just hearing the details on another podcast about it, what happened. It was a freak accident, like... It was, you know, if I remember correctly, it was a very well temperamental animal, like naturally, but it was just a freak accident that happened. So any hints, spoilers, or anything like that? Well, not spoilers, obviously, but anything to get people hyped up for this?
No spoilers. I don't like doing spoilers because you're going to hear it in a second anyways.
All right.
But for those that have a hard time hearing stories about children, this is your warning. Also, I'd suggest listening anyways, just so you find out what an awful person somebody can be.
Okay.
And their fucked up reasonings.
So you ready to get started then?
Yep.
All right, let's get going.
Lisa Snyder is a mother of three. She had 17-year-old Owen, 8-year-old Connor, and 4-year-old Brinley. Connor was your typical happy and outgoing 8-year-old boy. He did have a delay in his speech as well as his, like, fine motor functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So his hands... You know, he didn't have, he had full use of them. It's just his dexterity was really bad. Hand-eye coordination was really bad. He was working with an occupational therapist while at school to help him with all of that. He had a ton of friends. His charisma naturally just made people want to be around him. And he was a really, really good older brother to Brinley and basically gave into whatever she wanted. He would save up the little bits of money that he got, you know, here and there, and he would go and use it and spend it. And he would go and spend it on, like, Brinley's favorite candy so that she had something to eat that she liked. He also got treats from teachers at school, and he always made sure that Brinley got
some of it,
her favorites, out of whatever he was given. Brinley was also a very typical 4-year-old girl. She loved her big brother, followed him around incessantly. She loved Disney, more specifically the princesses. Frozen, Elsa, was a huge one for her. And she would play dress up and pretend to be one of those princesses. I'm assuming also probably Elsa. Now, while I said Connor was your typical happy 8-year-old, his mom, Lisa, felt very differently. Lisa had conversations with her friends about Connor. She would mention how he hated school and he was being bullied relentlessly because he was a chunky kid. And he was, you see pictures of him, he wasn't even like overweight. He's just a chunky kid. She said that he would come home from school daily and he was just mad all the time. Just mad.
No, if he's getting teased at school and picked on because of his weight, yeah, that's going to happen.
Right. She said that he started to not eat, I guess, to help him lose weight, and that he did wind up losing 25 pounds in 1 month, which is not healthy for anybody.
Right.
Let alone
a child.
An 8-year-old kid. 2 to 5 pounds a month is healthy, and he did 5 times that amount. Lisa also stated that Connor was saying things that was really starting to concern her, like how he hated life and how he wanted to kill himself but didn't want to do it by himself because he was scared. When Lisa's friends asked what she was doing to help that situation, she never had an answer. She would go back and say things like, he doesn't tell me anything, he won't tell me exactly what's being said at school because he didn't want her to get involved, her being the mom.
Right, because he's afraid to probably just make it worse.
Right. And I'm sorry, but if I had a kid and I knew that people, other kids were there being complete assholes and mocking and making fun of my kid, I sure as shit would be up at that school whether they wanted me there or not.
Right.
Because that shit wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, but unfortunately, your kids, they intentionally bully each other as it is anyway.
It's because our kids are stupid.
Yep.
Never gave an answer as to what she was going to do to help her son who was having suicidal thoughts. Lisa never gave an answer as to what she was doing to help her son who was having suicidal thoughts. She brought up how he's already doing harm to himself by basically starving himself. And Lisa said that it wasn't a big enough issue to take him to get help and that he was just fat. Great mom, right?
Yeah.
So in all actuality, she's just like, it's whatever. He'll get over it. Basically, she complained a lot about it to her friends, but never took her child to get the help that if what she was saying was true, he desperately needed. Not only did Lisa say all this shit to her friends, she told Connor's 17-year-old brother, Owen, as well. And Owen immediately was like, no, that's not how Connor is. And he instantly became like the fiercest protector of his little brother.
Yeah.
So he went and got Connor and sat him down to have like a man-to-man talk. And while talking, Connor apparently seemed very confused. Like he had no idea why Owen was saying the things that he was saying or asking him the questions that he was asking him. And Owen stated that Connor was talking about school like he absolutely loved it. But yet Lisa's saying he's coming home mad every day, saying how much he hates school. Connor also told Owen that nobody was bullying him at school or talking bad about him because of his weight.
So mom's making shit up here is what you're saying?
He did say that the only person that's ever talked badly about him and his weight was Lisa. So it would seem that she is making things up.
Yeah.
A friend of Lisa's had actually been to the school to pick up her own child and said that she had seen Connor outside while waiting on his ride. She said that he looked really happy. He was with a bunch of his friends. They were all out there laughing and talking and very animated, and that there was no iota of him hating school, having no friends, being bullied.
Right.
None. She had also mentioned that Lisa seemed to have stopped caring about her kids at all. She was, I don't know, slipping into her own mental breakdown. And just the kids weren't, you know, something she could be bothered with at that point, I guess. Any family member or family friend that had asked Connor about being bullied and not showing it, she would tell them that it's because he was her little soldier.
Because you're making all the shit up about him.
That he only talked about it when he was home and not around everyone else. At this point, I'm like, no, you're just a lying piece of shit.
Yeah, this is starting to sound like one of those Facebook posts where, like, the mom takes a picture of the kid before everybody shows up and, like, nobody showed up to Brayden's birthday party. Yep. Or, you know, some stupid shit like that's what it sounds like. Or that scam from, like, 2 or 3 years ago where that guy that had a disability where he's, like, looks younger than he really is and they try to play it off like he was being bullied and then somebody exposed him for it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was supposed to be, like, a little kid sitting in the front seat crying or whatever. I don't remember the name of it. But then again, also people said that was actually real, so who knows? You can't believe everything you read on the internet these days anyway, but especially those, my son Tractor's birthday party that was today, nobody showed up. Yeah, because you took the picture an hour before everybody
showed up. My son Tractor.
Because they give them stupid names these days.
Anyways, Lisa continued to talk about Connor and his concerning behavior for 3 weeks to her family and her friends. That is, until September 23rd, 2019. It was a typical day. Connor and Brinley got up, got dressed, got ready for school. They played with their friends and then returned home. And there is visual proof in the form of security cameras from both their home, a neighbor, and the bus itself that they rode that both kids were in super good moods when they got home. This would not turn out to be a typical day, however, as Connor and Brinley were both found hanging from ropes in their basement on the verge of death. That went downhill real quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I was like, I wasn't expecting that to be the next thing to come out of your mouth.
According to Lisa, when she was questioned, she stated the same thing she had been saying to her friends and family. Connor's behavior was concerning and that he repeatedly said he didn't want to be alive anymore. How Connor didn't say much about bullying because he knew she'd call the office at school or come down there. She said he is overweight, he has a speech delay, he needs the extra help, he's a little slower to grasp things, kids make fun of him because he's fat, although he did lose 25 pounds once he started school because he was starving himself. Stated Connor told her that he hates school, that he doesn't talk, he just comes home angry. She reiterated that he told her he's afraid to kill himself because he doesn't want to do it alone.
So this bitch is trying to, like, make sure that she's putting all this crap out there so it all matches when she fucking kills them.
She said the kids...
I'm already annoyed you're not even doing the story yet.
Yeah. She said that the kids came to her and asked if they could take chairs downstairs as well as the dog leash because they wanted to build a fort and prop it up from whatever. She mentioned she had gotten the dog leash that very day at a local Walmart, and she said that's what her kids were hanging from.
Oh, just how convenient. But anyway, this bitch already annoys me, and you're not even close to done, I'm late a bit.
Elisa said she took the dog outside while she was smoking for approximately 10 minutes, and when she came back, she went to ask them what they wanted for dinner, and that's when she found their bodies. When asked if she tried to get her children down, she said yes. But she also went on to say that when she gets anxiety, especially high anxiety, like this situation will put you in, she sweats profusely. Okay, so what
does that, what does sweating profusely have to do with you trying to save your children's life?
So when she tried to get Brinley down, she just kept slipping out of her grasp and she couldn't get the latch undone. When trying to get Connor down, she said he weighed too much and she couldn't get him down either. She tried one time for each child. One time. She ran back upstairs and called 911 and never went back down to the basement. When she called 911, she stated that she went downstairs and saw her two kids hanging from the ceiling. She went on to tell the dispatcher without hesitation that Connor was bullied in school, which the dispatcher never asked. She just willingly threw that information in there.
Yeah, because we gotta throw that shit in there so there's a paper trail, basically.
Lisa was instructed to go outside and wait for first responders, but she didn't. Firefighters and EMTs arrived at the home around 4:41 p.m., about an hour after the kids got home from school. When they got there, they expected to see Lisa outside, as she was instructed to be, but she wasn't. They went to the door and knocked, and Lisa answered, looking nervous while she was talking on the phone. The EMTs noted that she didn't look like she was in severe distress. She didn't look like she was in distress at all.
Well, of course not. When you kill your fucking kid, you're not going to be.
Like a mother would that just found her two children hanging.
Right.
She didn't look like she'd been crying. She didn't show them where to go find her kids. So basically, they had to search the house for the stairs to go down to the basement themselves. When they reached the kids, they got them down quickly and noted that their bodies were still warm and that gave them hope. So they started CPR immediately. At this time, the police had shown up and it was pure chaos. As I said, Lisa had been on the phone when the EMTs and firefighters arrived. Well, she had been calling all of her relatives, all of her friends, and telling them what happened. So the police got to the scene and there was already a mob of people swarming. Yeah.
I swear, story keeps going every time. It's like, what can I find for an episode to irritate the shit out of David this week?
Yeah. Lisa, her friends and family were just relaxing, not really pacing very much around the main floor of the home while the EMTs were downstairs trying to save her kids. Thankfully, both Brinley and Connor were still alive, but barely clinging to life. They were both airlifted to the hospital and connected to life support. With all that said, if Lisa is to be believed, Connor set up the scene to make it look like they were going down there to make a fort, which they happen to do often.
Right.
If you believe her, she makes it out to be that Connor hung his little sister and then himself, you know, because he wanted to die, but he didn't want to do it alone. Right. What 8-year-old hangs themselves?
I don't know.
You're so annoyed.
Yeah, I am.
I know. Just fucking wait.
Oh, great. It's going to get even better. Awesome.
Just wait. Lisa took the route that Connor was the issue and that, again, he had said he wanted to die, but not alone, which is why she believes Connor took his sister with him. The police started questioning everyone around Connor, from people at school to Lisa's friends that had seen him engaged in a fun conversation with a group of friends while they were there to pick up their son. I talked about them earlier. They talked to Owen, which is the older brother, and other family members, and they all backed up Owen's claims that Connor was not being bullied or suicidal. Now, I did state in the beginning that Connor was seeing an occupational therapist because of his poor dexterity and motor functions. This therapist was also questioned by police, and they stated that Connor's poor motor function was mostly between, like, his thumb and his pointer finger.
Right.
If he had actually been the one to set up the dog leash, he would have had an extremely hard time opening that clasp, because it's one that you have to, like, hold and pull down with your thumb.
So, like, the older ones that we grew up with and not, like, the carabiner-style ones that most of them are today.
Yep. Things usually took him twice as long, maybe longer, to complete a task than it would take a normal kid, air quotes, especially when it required the use of his hands. So dragging two chairs from upstairs to the basement, threading the dog leash through the banister, creating two nooses by hand, talking to his sister and getting her downstairs was very unlikely in under the hour that he had been home from school, let alone to lift his sister up on top of a chair and put the noose around her neck and then for him to do the same for himself.
Yeah.
Highly fucking unlikely. And police knew this, and that automatically made Lisa number one suspect.
Right.
So if you think about it, it's not super uncommon for moms to kill their kids. You see something about it on the news all the time.
Yeah.
But there's reasons behind it. The theory that Lisa simply just got tired of being a mom, definitely more feasible. Lisa did, in fact, tell a friend of hers about a month before Connor and Brinley had this incident that she didn't want to be a mom anymore. Earlier in 2014, Connor and Brinley were removed from the home for their protection, while Lisa was in a depressive, borderline psychotic frame of mind. They were taken out of the home by the state for, it was almost a year.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were placed back. I mean, maybe she was doing better at that point. I don't know.
Probably with, you know, states having to make visits so many weeks out or whatever, at months or what, weeks, months or whatever in between. And they're like, oh, there's some improvements. We can bring the children back possibly or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe.
If she was wanting that case.
So once the police found out that little bit, that they had been taken away previously because of Lisa, they're like, yeah, definitely suspect number one. She was not allowed in the hospital where Connor and Brinley were rushed to and, you know, trying to be saved.
Right.
Investigators continued to learn about Lisa and her background. She was a frequent Facebook poster and actually made a post the day of Connor and Brinley's incident stating that she was selling their above-ground pool to pay for their funeral expenses while they were still alive. They were in the hospital fighting for their lives.
Right.
And she is selling the pool for their funeral expenses. She also stated that they had died in a horrible accident and to only respond with serious inquiries.
And hopefully admins are like, oh, this is just one of those spam bots that you constantly see about PS5s or whatever.
But the kicker is, like I said, they were both still
alive. Right, I know, they're saying they're alive. Still alive.
While still on Facebook, she had sent out an update on her kids to a friend of hers that said, it's not looking good. Their brains are swollen, but once the swelling goes down, they're going to do a brain scan to check for brain activity. They said hopefully tomorrow or Thursday they can do that. The doctor herself told us to prepare for the worst, and for a doctor to say that, you know it's pretty bad, and at the point I'm going to have to make the toughest decision of my entire life.
Yeah, you probably should throw yourself out the top of the fucking hospital, you dumb... Eric, yeah, maybe we need to take a break so I calm the fuck down here. But anyway.
Yeah, this will probably be a good spot for you to calm down. Okay, you took a little break.
Yeah.
Did you calm your tits?
Yeah, I did, but I'm sure it's probably going to fire right back up with whatever you got to tell
me.
Sure
is.
Because you're like, this is going to be a good spot to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so hit me with it. Why did she do this?
Well, we'll get there.
Are we not there yet? Okay.
Not there yet.
Figured that's where it was, and you're like, okay, we need to stop right here. But anyway.
On September 26, 2019, the coroner's statement came out, and it said, Brinley Snyder was pronounced dead on Thursday, September 26, 2019, at 4:26 p.m., and Connor Snyder was pronounced dead on Thursday, September 26, 2019, at 4:40 p.m., both at Lay Valley Hospital, Cedar Crest, 14 minutes apart.
That's unfortunate. I was really hoping they were making it since they were airlifted.
Yeah. The official cause of death on the death certificate was homicide by hanging. Homicide.
Right.
This is what the investigators didn't want to happen, but also the tipping point for them to increase their investigation into Lisa Snyder herself. Lisa was just too stupid to realize that she was their biggest suspect.
Right.
So a couple days before, on September 23rd, the police seized numerous electronics from the Snyder home. This included two iPads, an Xbox, Lisa's cell phone, a laptop, and some other random things that Connor had preferred to use. So probably to see if he was saying anything suicidal to anybody other than his mom.
Right.
They were also curious as to where the family dog Buster was, since Lisa had just purchased that dog leash the day they were hung.
Right.
But there's no dog.
Right. Because you never mentioned a dog at all before. But I also took that as in like a minor detail you didn't add in because it was irrelevant.
I mean, that them having a dog was kind of irrelevant. But they were also, well, Lisa reported that she gave Buster away after Connor and Brinley died. Meanwhile, this was 3 days before they died.
Right.
But couldn't remember who she gave it to.
Sure. Okay. That's fucking bullshit because anytime you give a pet away, you remember who and where it goes to. I mean, remember that with like cats we had when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah. Investigators say that they wanted to weigh the dog to see if he really needed the leash that she had purchased. October 2nd, they were able to get another search warrant after they had spoke with Owen. Owen had told him Lisa didn't have just one phone. She had five.
I'm hoping this is for because she's an avid Pokemon Go player, but I'm sure that's not the fucking case.
Nope. And the investigators wanted every single one of them. One in particular was one that he said she used the most, and it was a Galaxy Note 9, but upon searching, investigators were not able to find it. They had asked Lisa where it went, and she didn't know. She said she didn't know, and that she had lost it the same day her kids died.
How convenient.
They later found that that was a bold-faced lie. Shocker, right?
Yeah. At this point, everything is.
Yeah. They found out because they were able to see the phone's activity and realized it connected to her car's Bluetooth after the 27th. You know, the day her kids died.
Yeah.
Well, the day after her kids died. She was using that phone. The activity they found was a text that she had sent to somebody making a joke about the investigators not being able to find that phone. It is believed, though, that after that, Lisa destroyed the phone because there was no activity after that.
Right.
But it did no good because they found six other cell phones.
Right.
Google search history, Facebook, they all made her paint herself in some pretty incriminating light. Google search showed she had been Googling things for a week or more prior to the hangings of Connor and Brinley. She had searched carbon monoxide in car, how long to die, almost got away with it, best episodes. That's a show, I believe, on one of the true crime stations. Hanging yourself. Do a hybrid car produce carbon monoxide? Does a hybrid car produce carbon monoxide while idling? After that all came to light, they tracked down Buster, and they were able to weigh him. Buster only weighed 50 pounds.
Right.
The leash that she bought the day of the hangings was for a massive dog that weighed between 150 and 200 pounds. Buster wouldn't need that leash.
Right.
However, if you put Connor and Brinley together, that's about how much they weighed. They also found out through Lisa's Facebook page that she had been having a romantic relationship with some dude. She had texted him about having a sexual relationship, not with him, with the family dog Buster.
Okay, did not expect that to go there this way.
This was backed up by hundreds of videos and pictures she took of it in the process. There are also texts that you can read in the affidavit. I screenshotted them, but I don't think you should put them on Facebook.
No.
Just, I'm not going to say them, but they're pretty fucking disgusting.
I'm sure everybody's imagination can figure out what they're saying.
She told this man that she'd hopefully, or that he would hopefully see it in person in the next few days, and that Owen had to work a full day that day, the day they had planned to meet up. And she would try to ask her mom to watch Connor and Brinley, but she was always a bitch about having to babysit them. Clearly this bitch was starved for attention.
Right.
But her kids were in the way of that happening. But was she so starved for attention that she would kill her kids so that she could go and fuck her dog in front of this man on the internet? No words.
I don't know what to fucking say at this point. God damn it.
No words. Throughout the investigation, Lisa really believed she had gotten away with what she did. She thought she covered her tracks enough and had planted enough seed of doubt about Connor and his suicidal thoughts that it wouldn't come back on her. She went so far as to make a new Facebook page in honor of Connor and Brinley to garner attention that way. She posted pictures and old cell phone videos of the kids having fun. And as the page gained traction, more and more people familiar with Lisa or with Connor or Brinley started coming out of the woodwork saying, like, you're a liar.
Good.
People were making comments, just outright calling her a murderer. She'd block them and move on to the next comment from somebody else calling her out. She realized quickly that she couldn't keep hiding all of that, so she did the next best thing, which was went and made a whole bunch of other Facebook accounts pretending to be other people.
Oh my god. Holy shit, how starved for attention is this bitch? I'm sure it's only gonna get worse from here. She's like going downhill with a fucking sail strapped to her back with the wind, you know, upwind, downwind, whatever, which way would this need the sail to catch the fucking wind. But still, you get what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Just so waiting with these, for the rocket shoes attention to come out.
So with these new Facebook accounts, she was pretending to be these other people. She would basically go onto that memorial page and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lisa. You are you're such a good mom. I'm so sorry this happened to you. Your kids were your whole world, blah, 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 blah. To make it look like others thought she actually gave a fuck about her kids, but it was all found out to be her. 2 months after Lisa was investigated, she was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, third-degree murder, endangering the welfare of children, tampering with evidence, sexual intercourse with a dog, and animal cruelty. When picked up by the police, this bitch showed no emotion whatsoever. None. Instead, as she's being taken out of her residence by cops in handcuffs, she's still telling the police officers about how Connor was suicidal.
Well, let's see. As bad as it's going to sound, that fact doesn't matter anymore, and they're already suspicious of you killing him, so you can keep screaming and banging that drum all you want. It doesn't matter at this point, stupid bitch.
Yep. Yep. Lisa was held at the Berks County Jail without bail. She wasn't allowed to have bail because of the murder charges.
Right.
Which I'd hope.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody been alive that's ever gotten murder charges of some sort and like get a bail set of some sort.
Right. In 2023, Lisa's plea of guilty to 2 counts of third degree murder by reason of insanity was rejected. In 2024, Lisa's sister appealed her sentence by filing with the state Supreme Court on Lisa's behalf. And online court records also indicate that Lisa filed a waiver of jury trial in favor of a bench trial, which is scheduled to begin September 16th. So 12 days from now.
Yay. Said September 6th or 16th.
16th.
Oh, sorry. Never mind that last comment.
At that time, they will be looking into the death penalty.
Good.
Which is really what she wants, so hopefully they don't give it to her. My hope for her is that she gets, like, solitary confinement, the smallest cell, windowless cell.
The stand-up cell that
no roommate, and she has to live out the rest of her days fucking lonely. So she either dies of loneliness or fucking boredom.
Right. That special stand-up cell that I created, I don't know how many episodes ago, where everything, like, there's only enough room. She has to constantly stand up, but the floor is slanted just enough so her calves are constantly burning.
Like at Ruoff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, not Ruoff. You're talking about, you mean Pine Knob?
No, Ruoff.
We've only gotten pavilion seats there.
Right. And the pavilion floors?
Oh, that's right. Never mind. But yeah, just enough of an angle that, you know, the calves are constantly burning. But yeah, basically, it's one of those cells.
Yeah.
So, and to add the twist that I know the Kevins have brought up before, you know, all your friends at Dark Windows, plaster the fucking walls with, like, tamper-resistant fucking pictures of her fucking kids where she can't ever look away from it.
Yeah.
You know, like, pictures that can't be destroyed in any way or be painted or inked over or whatever, so, like, it just runs right off, so they're constantly always in her fucking face.
Yeah. But we'll see. I will be doing an update to this case once her trial has started and finished.
Speaking of updates, have you ever looked into Levi Axtell from Ship Cats and Moose Antler Attacks?
You've asked me that before.
I asked you that on Twitch, but not on the actual podcast.
Oh, yeah, I did. And I believe I told you that he was found to be schizophrenic.
Okay.
So I think he's in a
mental health facility of some sort?
Okay. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what I remember reading. But yeah. To be updated hopefully sooner than later so this bitch can get her sentencing and hopefully stay the fuck in jail until she takes her last breath.
Hopefully.
Sorry to aggravate you.
Yeah, because
that wasn't my aim.
Because you were talking about how the parent, her, like, showing all the stress or whatever with, about when she's like, how is it? I'm going to try to put this. Like, with, and you said that she, like, showed, like, no emotions or whatever, or distress, or only tried the one fucking time when, like, her kids were hanging in the basement. Because, you know, with my time in the fire service, I never went on anything related like this. You know, even just personal injury stuff or, you know, the one run that I shall never speak of to you.
Yeah, you've already told me about it.
The emotional distress I've seen on a lot of that stuff already, even if it's like a minor thing, like parents freaking out.
Yeah.
Even for minor, from a minor to major in injury of some sort, you still see parents freak out. I mean, there's been one or two times we've had to try and not hold back, but sidestep parents before to keep them at bay from getting in the way, trying to calm them down and tell them, like, look, you get over, I mean, talk to your child, but we can't let you near them. Let them know you're actually here because we can't have you in the way with them trying to help.
Yep.
And we've told, once we've tried to explain it to them, they generally calm down and still talk to their kid with an eye distance between you and I. You can be this close, but you can't be right up there because you're just going to be in their way.
Yeah.
So, and then the things in the other one that, you know, I won't speak of, it's on par, I guess you could say, with this one. It's like, that's when it's like,
not a response lying, you would get bitch. Out of your mom. You would get
I know
out
you're fucking lying and she's not even gotten that far into it yet.
Yeah. All that to go have a just weekend fling with her dog and her Facebook boyfriend.
Just to be a fucking attention whore.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. I don't know. But anyhow, fun fact, actually, I just remembered about. So looking at our host site, that number one city just under the non-applicable one, it's like Tappanock, Virginia or something like that. I was talking to Kevin about it and I was like, you ever heard of this town? He's like, no. So he Googled it. It's actually like 20-ish miles away from the FBI headquarters or whatever. So if you're from the FBI, hey, how's it going? Guess what? We're just a podcast. We're not... You know, we're nothing to worry about. Yeah. Seriously, not just because, hell yeah, that's what they're going to fucking say. No.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Be happy.
Yeah, so Jenny's like, well, there's a no-fly list now because of that, you know, all that.
I'm okay with being on a no-fly list because you know who ain't flying? This bitch.
Right? It's like, yeah, keep on hitting, you know, if you're investigating us, keep on hitting those downloads for us, guys.
Right?
Thanks.
Oh, highly appreciate it, man.
Yep. And if you are listening, like, you know, make sure to leave us a glowing review on Spotify and Apple iTunes, FBI guys. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, are you ready to get out of here for the day, Sarah? It's time to close the Emporium up and get out of here.
I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah, I am. So, until next time.
Remember to creep it real.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.